Okay, good morning. I'd like to thank everybody for joining us. I'm glad I'm back. Eretz Yisrael was a wonderful experience. And I have many stories from Eretz Yisrael, but I hope to get to one by the end of today's share, which I hope that story is good for everyone over here and inspiring. And you'll see, pun intended. So today's topic is actually based on a request from one of the people here in the share. I believe Rabbi Sharfman gave a share on this topic years ago, but I hope to give my own spin on some of these halachas. We entitled the share Paid on Time, and it's dealing with the Isser of Baal Talin in halacha. Now, as an introduction, I was thinking about it. In the Jewish world today, you know, this is not your grandparents' America. You know, Baruch Hashem, we've come a long way. And you think about it, how many mitzvahs are there, yisurim there are there, that are doraisa, which are not well known? They say, we gave a share on this in the past, you know, in early years in America, people never heard of the Isser of Shatnez until this Mr. Rosenberg went around and there was Mefarsimit, publicized it. Okay, back in Europe, people didn't, you know, pay much attention to the Isser of speaking Lashon Hara, so the Chafetz Chaim went around and publicized it. But how many, you know, quote, there might be individual halachas that people are not clear about any aspect, but to know, not to know that the concept that a whole mitzvah exists, a whole avera exists, how many things would fall into that category? Baruch Hashem, we're a quite knowledgeable generation. A strong amount of people went through yeshivas, not just yeshivas nowadays, so many shuls have so much education, so much learning. So there aren't too many mitzvahs or averos that fall through the cracks. But I think I might have found one. This Isser of Baal Talin, the Isser of paying workers on time, is not so well known. And I'll show you, it wasn't well known already in the times of Chafetz Chaim in Europe. And I don't know that it's gotten so much more publicity since then. This is a good topic, I think, to give a share on, and we'll expand on it. Definitely very, very relevant, as we'll see in many, many areas, whether you're the owner of a small business, big business, or regardless if you own any business. Just interactions with so many different business settings, really there probably is not a person in today's society that does not have this relevant Isser of Baal Talin applied to them. Now, to begin with, I think I'll use the Chafetz Chaim's introduction. It's better than any introduction I'll write. And these halachas are found in the Shulchan Aruch, but we'll see the Chafetz Chaim spent time elaborating on them and codifying them since the Shulchan Aruch in his Sefer Avos Chesed. Right, we know the Chafetz Chaim wrote many, many svarim. Obviously, the two most famous ones are his Sefer Chafetz Chaim, Shmiras HaLashon, together with his Mishnah Berurah in Halacha. But up there, one of the most famous svarim the Chafetz Chaim wrote is Avos Chesed, which is a Sefer really promoting people doing Chesed, has the halachas of giving loans, which we have dealt with in the past, touches on some of the halachas of buying Jewish, of Kedima, to buy from a Jewish business versus a non-Jewish business. Many different halachas in the business slash chesed world, but also included in there are these halachas, the halachas of paying workers on time. So let me read to you his introduction. Od re'isi l'chaba halachos din tashun le'skar socher. I decided to write about the laws of paying workers, because this is something which is at the basic existence of the world. It's so important. Mufarshanim b'Torah. There are many Isurim which are clear cut in the Torah, clear Doraisas. The Yesh b'nei Adam is Zalzah Melmasin Arabim. And many people trample on them, unfortunately. There are so many easy ways that people push off paying workers. He says, I'll give you examples. You're lazy. You don't want to go and collect. You have money that you could pay workers with. You have money sitting for you. Someone owes you money. You could easily collect that money and go and pay the workers. You know, I don't want to ask the guy. It's always awkward. It always feels uncomfortable asking for money. So you don't have the cash available to pay your workers. But you could easily get it by collecting the money that you're owed. You don't want to do that. Sorry, I only have big bills. I don't have change. Sorry, I can't pay you. And we'll see soon in Halacha. You know what? You have to do this at all times. You have to go change your money, get your money, which is accessible, to pay your workers. And you know what? I'll say, my worker, he doesn't really need the money. Come on. He's a rich guy. This halacha applies, afilu mipol asher, even if your worker is well-to-do. And certainly, if your worker doesn't have funds, is poor. How much should a person see that he pays on time? Paying people a parnasa is so important for the functioning of their household. Just like the Torah says in Parshas Kitzeitzei, Biyomo titin scharo, you should pay a person the day it's due. For the sovel of Hashemesh, you shouldn't wait till the morning. Ki anihu, because he's a poor person. The elavu nosi et nafsho, and to you, you're the employer, you're the person who promised him money. He looks to you to feed his family. V'yikol lecha al Hashem v'ayil b'chachet. You don't want him calling out to Hashem and talking about the pain that he has by not having money to pay, and that being on your cheshbon. Furthermore, the Chafetz Chaim continues, Visbonanti, and I thought about this whole topic, Chafetz Chaim writes, Shekol zeh ba lehem mitzad miyat v'chasar nidiyat ba'alachazu. Why is it that we find in the Jewish world today people are not meticulous to pay their workers on time exactly when the money is due? What's the cause of this? Is it because Jews are stingy? Jews are money hungry? Jews are cheap? So Chafetz Chaim says, no, I spent a lot of time thinking about this, researching this. It's not the pshat. It's because they are ignorant. They don't know these halachas. She'ilu yadam izeh, if they knew that bevadayim is zarin l'sham bezmanon, they would pay on time. K'dei l'kayim ben mitzvah saseh, shabiyom atitin skaro. People would want to do this to Mekayim a mitzvah. It's an easy mitzvah to do. You owe the guy the money anyway. Just pay him on time. V'gam shemolav ha'lavim she'esh b'inyin zeh. People also want to avoid the surim, the lavim that they have in this. K'mo sheko echa mi'yisrael mizdar zeh l'kayim shar mitzvah satorah t'lim b'zman. People run to do mitzvahs which are time-based. K'shofer, sukkah v'lulav, k'yoz b'zeh. Guys say, yeah, you know what, I'll do lulav tomorrow. You do a little tomorrow, you miss it today. I'll hear shofar tomorrow. They're not blowing tomorrow, buddy. You gotta cop it now. So the same thing. If you want the mitzvah, if you want to avoid the avera of not paying workers on time, today's the day to do it on time. And we'll see. There's a window. The worker finishes at night. You have the daytime to pay him. By the time it gets dark, game over. You missed out. The work finishes at night, you have the full day to pay. Finishes at day, whole night to pay. Yes?
If you make different terms in terms of payday when the person's hired and they agree to it.
Okay, so we'll get to those halachas about stipulations. We'll talk about that. But in a general sense, you hire someone to do something and we'll go through exactly what type of workers fit into this category. The Torah has, we'll see soon, black and white commandments that we have to pay our workers on time. And the Chafetz Chaim writes, let me just finish this hakdama. People push off these things to the night. People do these mitzvahs as quickly as they can in the morning. People are excited, they're happy. I fulfilled the mitzvah. The ilu b'mitzvah zu, she gamki mitzvah se deraisa. This is a clear deraisa, it's not just a little derabanan or minog. This is a deraisa. V'osifu ator gamki kamalavim b'din zeh. The Torah added on, and piled on many yisurim on this. Kamim mizgabar ha-yitzah b'zeh. How much does the yitzah har come to trick us? B'glal kain dasati al libu v'smananti. I thought about this. Bezaz Hashem yisbarach hachonin londas. It's called pratim mitzvim ba'alacha zu. I decided to write out all the individual halachas about this. This way, everyone, if they follow my sefer Avos Chesed, they'd be able to do this mitzvah to the letter of the law. Is a holy bezit tzuri v'goli, and this will be my schos. The Chafetz Chaim writes. So the Chafetz Chaim once again, right? This is why he's a timeless figure in Jewish life. Really thought of issues plaguing the Jewish community. And he wrote Sfarim. He did things. He was a man of action to help us out. And just like this Sefer was needed over 100 years ago back in Europe, it is equally needed in the world today who we don't know of this Isser. People are not clear on the fact that if I do not pay a worker on time, I'm violating a mitzvah saseh and multiple lavim in the Torah, doraisos. So it's a big deal. Now, what are the isurim involved? So let's begin, go through a little bit of the background, the parameters of it, and then later go through some ways perhaps where you would not be responsible for this isur. So the Mishnah says, this is Gemara in Baba Metzia, Daf Kuf Yod Aleph. Echad Sachar Adam ve'echad Sachar Behema, whether you're renting a person to work for you, whether you have an animal rental, car rental, ve'echad Sachar Kelim, you rent Home Depot Kelim, or the Jewish Home Depot, Heimish Depot, right? These halachas are when referring to within Jewish people. Yesh bo mishum biyomo titan skara. The halacha is you have to pay the worker on time, you have to pay the wages on time. The yesh bo mishum lo son pula sacher itcha ad boker. There's also a lav, you shouldn't lo solen, you shouldn't hold back the work, the payment for the work of a worker until the morning. A Masai Mishnah adds, Bizman Shatavu. One important thing is it's in a case of where the person asks for his wages. If the worker doesn't care and doesn't come to ask the money from you, then you wouldn't be obligated to pay. These are cases where they're being tovea, they're claiming from you, you know, you owe me money. If they wouldn't ask the money from you, that would be a little different. Lotovo ino over alov. That's what the Mishnah says. Now, just off the bat. Well, okay. I'm not sure fully how to answer that. Right? The question was asked, I have to ask the guy to pay me money? Well, look, if for example, you're a shoemaker, okay? I give you my shoes, you fix my heels. So when you quote the price, that's asking for money. It's not, you know, hey buddy, please pay me. It doesn't have to be like that. Just the simple, okay, that's $25. Just any time you quote the price, you're waiting for the person to give you his credit card. That's being tovea the person. And yeah, that's what happens most of the time, right? You have someone doing some work for you, and the person comes to you. So yeah, you owe them money. That's being tovea, even just showing up. It's not necessarily you have to say a speech. When it's clear that the person's coming for money, right, you have to pay them.
And an employee?
Yes, we'll talk about recurring employees and pay schedules. Yes. But in all these cases, right, just setting up a pay scale, that would be the din of the Yom HaTita Tzvar. You don't have to come to the guy. This is our contract. This is how we set it up. Every 2 weeks, you're going to pay me. So you don't have to come to him each time, I believe. Now, when I was first thinking about this Isser, you know, we'll see all the cases that this includes, but this is specific when you're paying for work or service that was done for you. You have to pay for that work, you have to pay for that service on time. Let's talk about a different case for a moment. What about a loan? Someone gives you a loan. So we know all the time, you have loans, you have due dates. Let's say you don't pay back a loan on time. Do you violate this, Isser?
No.
Someone lends you lend someone money, and they're late to pay you back. Do they violate this, Isser? The answer is no. The Torah only gave this Isser of paying on time in the worker relationship. If something is a loan, now granted, when you make up between two people, okay, to pay me by this date, you have to pay by that date, unless you get permission to extend it. But if you are late in paying a loan, that is not this Isser. There is no Isser on that. Maybe it's not keeping your word, okay, you could get me for that. But an Isser Baal Talim is specific to a worker-service relationship. Now, I'm not clear. It bothered me, like, why the Torah only put Isserim on paying workers late and not Isserim on paying back loans late? So I looked in the Sefer HaChinuch. Like, the worker relationship, by definition, is you're paying a person parnasa. You're paying a person, you know, people have jobs. And, you know, the money they get from their job, that's parnasa. So there the Torah is makbid. You know what? People are getting parnasa, like the Pasuk says, their families are relying on that. There, Torah says, you know what? Person does work for you. He expects you to pay him. There you have to pay back. A loan is extra commerce. Now you tell me some people make their parnasa giving loans. Okay, that's true. But it's not the same thing as a service. The Torah only put this Isser of being paid on time. If you do not pay back on time, pay that on time, that's only by a service between two people, that relationship. But in terms of a loan, you don't have that. Yes?
With a loan, when it's only money, as opposed to loaning assets or whatever else,
right,
tangible property. But with money, my understanding is that within the halachic frame, if it's between yidim, then you have the issue of rivers, and therefore the timing of when it's paid back is not as important.
Right.
Whereas with a worker, if you wait with the money, especially now when inflation is rising, you're really hurting them more by taking longer to pay.
Okay, you're bringing up, you're right, by loans, the Torah has other Yisurim. The Torah says you shouldn't take ribbis, you shouldn't charge interest, which is a whole shear unto itself. Maybe we'll do that too. We did the Quicken Loans issues years back. But I actually do think with inflation, you know, there's very interesting topics with loans.
It goes the opposite way. The borrower is benefiting.
Yeah.
He's paying back with cheaper.
Absolutely. Borrowers always benefit from our place.
Yes.
Yeah.
Our accountants over here.
Even the lawyers know that.
Yes. The county department. Yes. So we still have a few shirim left in our series this year. We might address inflation, which is a big topic, which is definitely on a lot of people's minds. We'll talk about that. But in terms of the Isser of paying back on time, that's specific to the worker-service relationship, but not the loans. And I'll tell you a very interesting nafkamina with that. Let's start simply like this. I have X amount of free money. I owe $5,000 in a loan. I owe now $5,000 to a worker. The worker just finished today, so I only owe him from today. The loan was due for the past 3 weeks. Who should I pay first? I have $5,000 of accessible money. I have a loan that's due already a couple weeks, and I have a worker who just finished working today. Who do I pay?
The worker.
Halacha is you pay the worker, even though the loan is already due 3 weeks.
When did you finish working yesterday?
Huh? I'll get to that in a second. Very good question. Right? We see the issur of paying back on time is specific to the worker relationship. So if someone finishes working for me today, I owe him $5,000, I pay him. I have someone else I owe $5,000 for the past 3 weeks. That's a loan. The Torah, this issur is specific for loans. Is it wrong that you didn't pay back for 3 weeks? Yeah, it's a problem. You said you're going to pay back. But in terms of the issur bal talin, it's specifically by this worker relationship, and you pay the worker first. Let me give a second case based on these halachas. I have two workers. One worker, which I failed to pay yesterday. He finished the work yesterday. Another worker is finishing the work today. Today I just got money. Who would I pay first? The answer is today's worker. The issur of Baal Tullin goes specifically for the period to pay that day. You have your 12 hours from the time the person finishes work to get him his money. Once those 12 hours pass, then now what you have is a debt to that guy. You have a debt to your worker. A debt, there's no issur bal talin. It's only when the worker freshly finishes his work.
So you get the avera, it doesn't compound.
Right.
You have one avera.
Right. Now there are, though, I must warn, don't think, okay, great, once I missed it, I missed it. Not so simple. We said there's multiple averos in paying a worker not on time. There is an issur of bal tisha. It's one of the yisurim. The Gemara goes through. There's about 5 yisurim you get. I'll show you in a moment. When you don't pay a worker. So bal tullin, that has a short window of 12 hours, let's call it, from the time the guy finishes work. By pushing off, you are over more yisurim. It's true. But the opportunity to pay a worker on time, that's only in the short period. So these halachas are tricky.
Yeah, you would think.
You really have to hop a rein and pay a worker immediately after they finish your work. Okay? So those are some definitely very interesting, maybe not so well known. Next halacha. We already saw the Chafetz Chaim mentioned this point in his psicha, but we said if you don't have cash available, you don't have change. Right? If someone did work for you, you only have $100 bills. What you're going to have to do is change your money. Get change. What happens, this could be, right? The whole first day we were in Israel. Now, I always carry with me Israeli cash. Because I expect, Nehiri Bana Mikdash, tomorrow we're going to be on the backs of eagles flying to Eretz Yisrael. So I keep shkolim on me at all times. They'll say, if I'm on the backs of eagles, who says I need shkolim at that point? Okay, good point. But, I always have shkolim on my wallet. So I had cash walking around the Eretz Yisrael the moment I landed. But we went from Ben Gurion straight to Bnei Brak. Most people didn't have time to change money until the next 24 hours. 24 hours later. Too action-packed. So what happens if you buy something and you need something? Okay, the guys say, come back tomorrow. Israel, they're nice.
Hey, Mark, credit
cards. Right? Credit cards. Right. Yeah, they take American credit cards. They speak English. They do everything.
American dollars also.
Right, all these things. But anyway, what happens if you don't have cash available? You have to change a bill. Sometimes changing money will cost you.
Oh, yeah, always.
Right?
To make the money.
Yes. So, halacha is you'd have to infer the cost of changing money just to pay a worker on time. That's what you got to do. Right? Now, I don't know where the fine line is between small money and big money. The Chavetz Chaim's language is you would have to change money even if that will cause a minor, you know, charge to it. But yeah, that's what you'd have to do. Who's included in the Isser? So it's clear that any worker doing something for you, a contractor, a craftsman, yeah, a barber I call or some type of worker. Maybe it depends how fancy your haircut is. Maybe it's a craftsman. But
you can
reduce your margin because you can
give him a haircut.
Okay. A rental. You rent something from someone. All these are included in the din of Baal Talon. What would you say about karka? Now, what's ground?
Land.
I don't mean renting dirt. What I mean is where you live. Your rent for your house, does that have to be paid on time? Where's the landlords in here? Depends. Back in Jersey, I don't know. You don't pay on time in Jersey. I'm not sure they're kicking out anymore. These Democratic run cities. Not so simple.
That's why I moved to Florida.
Yes, yes.
So you get kicked out faster?
I had to. I was a landlord one time, and I didn't enjoy it. I had a Jewish guy. Unfortunately, he fell on hard times, and I went months without. Finally, I decided I was going to evict him, and I didn't serve the papers on him. He was involved in a car accident, and he died. Okay, so that's it does happen.
Yeah, not easy stories dealing with.
He had a heart attack while he was driving the car.
Oh yeah.
So it was
like not easy dealing with.
After that, I didn't want to rent to Goyim.
Renters, yeah. But what would you say? Do you have to pay your rent on time based on these halachas of Baal Talon? And the debate really is, well, it's a rental, right? If you rent a car, well, let's assume a car is metaltalon, right? If you're renting, you know, a scooter, that you have to pay on time, right? The Orlando scooter rentals, those have to be paid on time. Golf carts, just feel like metaltalon. Little kids could drive it. but what about a house? Do you have to pay that on time? That have the same din.
Why would it be different?
So, right, perhaps, right, that's not just viewed as a service of giving you a rental, something different, it's karka. It's a machlokas. If you look at the Chavetz Chaim in Os Hey, Koadima Alalu Noagim Bein Besachar Adam Bein Besachar Behemah VeKelim, whether you're hiring a person or utilizing an animal or kelim, Dechsivu Som Puas Sachar Itcha Kol Shepulascha Itcha, the work is with you. Val Schar Karkios Yish Deas Ben Aposkin. Terms of real estate, that is a machlokes between the poskim. V'ayim bebir agrash mitzal lahachmer v'sigis agamar shalana. The gra, the Vilna Gaon, was machmer. So comes the Chavetz Chaim. The Chavetz Chaim says, I think we have to be machmer. So that's a major nafkamin. That means, in a case you're a Jewish tenant and you owe money to your Jewish landlord, Halacha is you got to pay that on time, according to the Chafetz Chaim. And when you pay on time, you're mekayim the mitzvah of Baal Talin, of Yom Titin Skaro. If you pay late, you violate that. Yes?
So my rent is due June 1st. I know I'm not going to have the money. I go to Gamach. I say, I have to have. I need you to lend me money by June 1st so I can be pay on time and not be over this.
So I'm going to get to that in a moment. Very, very good point. Right? You're bringing up the issue of, do I borrow money in order to pay back on time? We'll get to there in a moment. But very good point. But simply, the way the Chafetz Chaim is coming out is a renter has an obligation. So it's machlokas, but the Chafetz Chaim is coming out to be machmer. A renter should try to the best of his ability to have the money to pay back on time.
That's not publicized a lot.
Huh? No, no. I'll. You know what? Maybe I'll jump here to publication. Rabbi Luban told me this story years ago. He remembers in Eretz Yisrael. And somebody here just told me he saw this recently in Lakewood. In Jewish-owned shop, Rabbi Luban once went to a Jewish-owned shop in Israel. And on the wall, okay, he paid the guy, you know, let's say the shoemaker for his shoes. Before he gave him the money, the shoemaker said to him, pointed to a sign on the wall, have in mind you're being mekayim the mitzvah of paying a worker on time.
Wow.
He pointed the sign on the wall, have in mind, we hold in general it's best to have kavanah when you do a mitzvah, have intent. He did that.
That's amazing.
Amazing thing. And it's, you know, without that, right, only in Israel. So it's good. Someone told me, Lakewood, they have a sign in the store like that too. But really, right, it's also a smart business move. Because if you could convince the person who owes you money that you're getting a mitzvah by paying me, it feels better. Okay. Take my money, right. I'll take fries with that. Yeah.
You take your shoes to the shoemaker.
Yes.
Because they'll be ready on Monday. Okay. And, you know, you're busy and you don't pick it up until the following week.
Good. No, I don't think so. Good point. All right. The question we asked is if your shoes are ready on Monday and you don't come to the following week, do you violate Baal Talin? I don't think so because the money is due when you pick up the shoes. It's understood that not everyone picks it up the day that it's due. You know, they might put up signs, you know, we're not responsible for things left over a month.
30 days.
Right. So, yeah, then you should. But that is very interesting. Right. We say by a worker, like a shoemaker, and you know what? I'll spell this point out now. I'll jump to that. According to the way we're saying it, you have to pay the person when the work is finished, when it's due. So by a shoemaker, when he finishes working and he presents you with the shoes, then that's when you pay it. Can you prepay? So Zok the Chafetz Chaim. On the bottom of the page, the left column. Matu Mishmei the Chafetz Chaim. It's brought in the name of the Chafetz Chaim. He would only pay his wagon drivers after they finished. V'lo kodem, he refused to pay beforehand. K'dei l'kayim ha-mitzah shal b'yom ha-titin skaro. V'zman ha-mitzah hu mishakalo malachto. It's only after the worker finishes his job. D'kodem l'chein ha-kati l'nitzkai b'skaro. D'schiler is ina m'shalem ha-sal v'sof. The Gemara says, you only pay a worker, the money due for work is only after he finishes. If you prepay for something, then you're not paying for the work that he did. And you're mevatel the mitzvah. You wouldn't get an aveira, but you didn't get a mitzvah either.
What if he tells you, I think there's some cleaners like that. Bring your cleaners in, you pay right then, you get a 10% discount.
Yeah, so I'm not sure about this.
That's now a ribbis issue.
Huh?
That become a ribbis issue.
Okay, hold on. You're mixing in ribbis yet. We said we'll do ribbis in a few weeks. But put aside the ribbis. But let's just talk about paying the cleaners before they do the work for you. yeah, according to this opinion of the Chafetz Chaim, it sounds like then you're not paying for the work that they did.
No, because money is also due back.
Huh?
The money can also be due before they do the work.
No, because I didn't do anything for you before the work. The idea is that's not worth, that's not the money you're paying for. You're not giving the guy money for the chance that he's going to do it later. You're paying for him from doing for when he completes the work. Now, for sure he's going to complete the work, but the din of Baal Tom, according to the Chafetz Chaim's understanding, is specifically after he finishes work, now it's due. So you prepay, you're losing out on the opportunity to get this mitzvah.
But the theory might be, that's 100 years ago.
Yes.
You didn't know if the guy was going to do your work or not, so you didn't prepay. Today, you're going to take your stuff to the cleaners. You know it's going to be clean.
Right, but it's not a psychology. The Gemara says this is a business principle. When do you owe the money? Not the beginning when a person accepts it, when he finishes the job. Schiris enu mishalemes al besof. The monetary chov that you have is only after he does it. You sit down with a person who's going to make you a custom-made suit. He wants a deposit. Okay? Now, off the hawk, what a deposit is. If a deposit is, you know, okay, the person doesn't want you to back out, so you ask for a deposit. Great. But in terms of paying for the suit, you only want to pay for the suit after it's finished. Now, sometimes other people do, they take the deposit and they apply that to the payment of the suit.
Yeah.
That's a little tricky. You should ask your deposit back and pay him in full now.
You only get part of the mitzvah.
Now,
you give part now?
Huh?
You give part now.
So, right. If you only pay part, then you're only getting part of the mitzvah. Let's say you can't afford to pay all of it. You still would violate Baal Tolam and the rest. Now you say, okay, but I paid back half of it on time. Great. Now, okay.
But that's your way of doing business.
Yeah.
So you have
to join. In terms of the...
You want me to make you a silly.
Okay.
It's the money up
front. Right. So give me back my cash. I'll put it all in the card now. They'll say, everything's in the card. Okay. It might get tricky. Put down as least as possible for your deposit. It happens all the time. You want to pay, you want to just give a deposit or pay in full? So I say, oh, why pull my credit card twice? I'll pay all in full. So there, Chafetz Chaim would say, you know what's better to do? Look, if they're going to force you to give a deposit, give a deposit. But make sure to pay a balance. Make sure you're paying when it's due. Don't pay it all up front.
So what about your rent?
Yes.
Pay last month's rent with the signing of your lease.
Okay. Oh, boy.
That is terrible.
Yeah?
You're paying in arrears.
No, I signed it when you signed the lease agreement.
Right, you're always paying a month ahead.
That's
right. Right,
you have
right.
To pay three times the amount.
Yes, okay, that gets complicated. Yeah. What exactly are you paying in this? Yes.
So, if you're in a scenario where if you prepay, you come on the day that it's supposed to be done, but it was never done, you have the right to get your prepayment back. So, in essence, all you did was give them a loan,
right.
And that loan becomes a payment when the work's done.
Right.
So.
He doesn't do the work. I don't think he gets.
Yeah. So I'm not sure. You know, what you're trying to argue is, look, if a person doesn't end doing the work, so then he has to give me my money back. So it means it's not fully his money until he finishes the work. Okay.
That's harder with the suit because they start doing
yeah.
work on it already.
Because
yeah. yeah. But in the Torah review.
Well,
right? Mr. Meroff, the way though it works, in Torah review, when I give someone a loan, that money is already not in my hands. So the idea of paying is payment means me giving you fresh money now. If you already have my money, that's not viewed as I paid you today.
So if somebody owes me money and I have a worker and he's ready to give me the money and I just say, give the money to my worker.
We'll get to that in a second. Not so simple. We'll get to that in a second. Okay? So far, we already see it's complicated. Baal Tolam is only by services between people. It's not by loans. We see that you have to get change, even if it incurs a fee. We see it applies to all types of workers. There's debates about real estate, about rentals, okay? We see the Chavetz Chaim was makpid not to prepay. And one last area in terms of this is, what about hiring a kid? Harvey does this all the time, right? It's cute, you know, I'll pay a kid to organize Uncle Harvey's books in the show. Right, right. But let's say the kid's a katan, he's under bar mitzvah. Is there a din of Baal Talin? I'll get you a donut, right? Who says the payment has to be cash? It could be barter, right? I'll pay you a donut for your work. Do you have to pay on time?
Just gave your son a
donut. He's over bar mitzvah. Right. Do you have to pay a katan on time? The answer is 100% yes. Baal Talin, babysitting, Baal Talin applies even to a katan. I'll take it one step further. Okay, Rabbi, I hear. For your kid, I have to pay your kid on time. What about my kid? I promise my kid, if you do this, you watch the older kids, I'll give you a treat when I come back. If you don't give it exactly when you come back, right? If you don't give it exactly, come back to your own kid. Does that apply or not?
Yes.
If you look at the bottom of the sheets, I found Reb Chaim Kanievsky's grandson, who was above bar mitzvah, wrote this letter to his grandfather about it. And he said that Reb Chaim Kanievsky says that it equally applies to your own kids, just like anyone else's kids. Is any agreement you make with anybody, a kid, you gotta pay on time. We were learning these halachas in the Mechanchim Kolah. You should know how the Rebbeim started getting very nervous, like, oh my gosh. How many times a day do you promise a kid, if you do this, I'll give you that. If you do this, I'll give you that. You got to pay on time. Ooh. You're looking at the Afikoman as a service, huh? You provided me with matzah.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I don't know. But, I, you know, actually these halachas, you bring up a very interesting point. Not just about kids doing the Afikoman, but any work for you done on Shabbos. Now, really, on Shabbos and Yontif, there's a din Skar Shabbos. We don't pay for work on Shabbos. So really, like, the trick is you're paying for something that they do, let's say a caterer. You're paying for the work that they're doing before Shabbos, after Shabbos. Now, it does get into tricky issues. People do work for you on Fridays. When do you pay? If Shabbos coming. Okay, so that's a whole tricky. Huh? No. But, okay. So we went, ooh. Boy, you guys are sinking your teeth into this. Let me quickly run through. There are a few potential heterim that sometimes get around the Yisurim. Let me explain. One halacha, the Pasuk says, this is in the Chavetz Chaim on the left side and towards the bottom, that Ein Baal Bayis over Mishum Baal Talin, Imkin Yesh Lo Mal Slitin Lo. The Baal Bayis is only over, violates Baal Talin if he has money to give. Dechsiv Lo Som Pua Socha Itcha. Right? It only applies if you have money. If unfortunately you're broke, you have no money, then you didn't violate Baal Talin. It's only where you have money. If you have money stashed by somebody else, someone owes you money, if the money is accessible, even if it's not in your bank account, it's not in your property, but you could get it, then you would have to do that. A question was brought up earlier, what about borrowing money? So, mi'ikar adin, you don't have to do that. Pashup shot. They say that this many, it's brought down even the Shulchan Aruch Harav, that the Arizal is very makben, just by his kever, that you should pay, they should even borrow money to pay back workers on time. The Chavetz Chaim debates this topic. The Chavetz Chaim does hear at Tzad, he doesn't come out conclusively, but he does hear at Tzad that you might have to do that. It may not just be a Midas Chassidus, it might be Midas Chassidus, there is a pun intended. You would have to do it, not just the Arizal, but you would have to do it. The Chavetz Chaim writes, there's a Tzad, but the Chavetz Chaim writes, for sure, if you have merchandise which could easily be liquidated for cash, you'd have to sell that. That you'd have to do. So not just collecting money owed to you or someone has something of yours, if you have something that's easily able to be liquidated, you'd have to do that to pay back a loan. Yes. We'll get to there. The Gemara talks about, I'll give two more other steps. The Gemara talks about if the person was hired through an intermediary, through a shliach, then you do not have to pay bal talim. You don't have to pay on time. And the logic behind that is, like we said, the whole din of bal talim is the worker puts his eyes towards the bal talim and he expects him. There's an expectation on the worker's part that he's going to get it. If the guy didn't give him the time of day to hire him, he used someone else, he doesn't know who the boss is, never saw the boss. It's not the same expectations, the Gemara understands. And therefore, this is a very interesting topic in terms of corporations. If you never met the big boss and you just met a lower ring, so you can't necessarily have this expectation, I'm going to get paid on time. Because who you're answering to? This guy doesn't control the purse strings. The Gemara understands specifically it's a relationship, a one-on-one relationship between the boss and you.
When does the shadach go through?
When the shadach goes through. Very good point. Bal talin on shadchanis. Very good point. I was zochet to be a shachan many times. Wow. Yeah, you know, honestly, yeah. Honestly, you, as a shachan, you don't expect to get paid right away. Sometimes people do. I'm going to get to that in a moment. Sometimes people do it. People are very busy, right? But there were times I went to the Vart. I got an envelope. But and that's probably the best way to do it. But
then would you give the money back if the date broke up?
We won't talk about that.
It happens. Yeah.
Unfortunately, there's no warranties on Shidduchim, unfortunately. But the Gemara on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph here in Baba Metziah says that if you have, the Gemara talked about a case of where there were businessmen who didn't have cash available till after the marketplace days. And if someone worked for them, the Gemara says the workers assume they're not going to get their cash because they know the owner doesn't have the money. And the Gemara says, you see from here a principle that, again, the only time that there's an expectation on the boss, an employer, that he has to pay is when the employee thinks and expects to be paid on time. But if he understands that he may not be paid on time, then there's no violation of bal talim. And this, unfortunately, is a reason why, let's say, call them Jewish institutions, yeshivas, Beis Yaakovs, Kiryat Ata. If in those scenarios, look, obviously they should pay on time, and I'm very fortunate, both in this yeshiva, and I was able to work before in Brooklyn in another yeshiva, they both have exemplary track records and tremendous supporters of the yeshiva. It's not the yeshiva that's able to do it by itself, it's the supporters behind it, who Baruch Hashem are able to pay the employees on time. At least in this generation of the yeshiva. My father-in-law told me some other stories from the early days. But yeah, it's a tough thing. It's
Alan Jacob brought the amount of poverty with the stuff of Mark Judah.
Yes. There's so much, you know, it's not easy doing these things. And you know, it's a tough job as it is, let alone you add on to the burden of not being paid. It is a tough thing. But at the same time, people understand that you're not working for a law firm. You're working for an institution which is supported by the community. And people in Klei, what they call Klei Kodesh, it's called holy work for a certain reason. Not just the work you're doing, but you know, it's the mindset you have to go in with it.
You have to
But I want to end off. I think we learned a lot about these halachas, which are very, very interesting and definitely probably not so well known. But I want to end off with an interesting idea. One of the places we were zochet to visit when we took the Talmidim to Eretz Yisrael was Yeshivas Eish HaTorah. Eish, which is a household name right there by the Kosel,
right here,
right, is an unbelievable institution. There have been makariv literally thousands of Jews over the decades. and Rav Noach Weinberg Zatzal, who had a personal relationship. He was his wife, she had a Rafu Shlema, was a cousin of mine. And I was off to eat by his Shabbos table multiple times as a bacher learning in yeshiva. One of the greatest OA of Yisraels I've ever seen.
He
was an amazing person. It was more than his head. More than his genius in his head was his heart. He really, really cared. He bled Jewish blood. And we were actually sitting in the office of his successor, this Rav Yitzchak Berkowitz, who's a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and really also cares tremendously for Klal Yisrael. And one of the themes I remember they always talked about, Noach talked about, is we're fighting a losing battle. Behind the desk of the Rosh Yeshiva, this might have been Rav Yitzchak Berkowitz's doings, there's a map of the entire world. There's a world map, huge, huge world map with nice lights shining on it. And by every country, there's a little yellow tab, handwritten, with a number on it. I asked him, what's this all about? He said he went and he calculated, and he said, it's not so easy because you go through, there's a lot of contradictory data out there. But he went and he went through every single country in the world, how many Jews are there? He put the numbers up on the huge map, sits right behind the Rosh Yeshiva, the Eish HaTorah. And you go through the numbers of how many Jews there are in the world, and then you go through the stats of what assimilation is. It's scary. What's going to solve assimilation? You know, we were running through Israel, we saw lots of birthright trips. Nice thing, people spend millions of dollars to bring, you know, unconnected Jewish youth to Israel. Is that going to solve it by them going to bars at night and seeing the nightlife of Tel Aviv? Is that going to convince them that they should marry a Jew? Maybe for some, you know, really the secret to Jewish survival is Jewish education, is yeshivas. That's what we believe is the ultimate. Okay, but what about the person who's not in yeshiva? How are you going to get them to yeshiva? So Rav Noach Weinberg felt, look, I'm going to do all my efforts with Kiruv, but it's a losing battle. There's not enough people doing Kiruv. There's not enough money to support Kiruv that's going to solve Jewish assimilation. It's not going to do it. So what do we have to do? Rav Noach Weinberg, I heard this from him multiple times. He says we have to wake up the sleeping giant. The sleeping giant is the Jewish community. The frum, regular, balabatim people in the frum community. Everyone has to view themselves as ambassadors of Jewish life to reach out to unaffiliated Jews. That's what we have to do. That was Rav Noach Weinberg's vision. And he started an organization, Project Inspire, and they have some success. You know, but unfortunately, for the most part, you know, people are busy with their own lives. And okay, yeah, once in a while we'll have a, you know, non-affiliated family over for a Shabbos meal. But you know what could really help? You know what could really make a difference? Is just our daily interactions with people. If every time I owe money to somebody, I make a point of teaching him, you know what? Well, I'm paying you on time because the Torah says I have to pay you on time. Really? Wow. Never realized that. Yeah. Torah has all these amazing laws and all this. The more we educate people, we live a Torah lifestyle, but spread it. You know, I do these things because I'm a Torah Jew. I'm not just paying you because it's a good idea that I want to have happy workers. There's actually laws mandating a Torah observant Jew to make sure to pay workers on time. That will give a person a certain insight, you're teaching them. Maybe you should learn more about, you know, your Judaism, which unfortunately you don't know so much about. But whatever we could do to live lives as a Torah Jew and spread that passion, that excitement that we have, that Ashrinu Matov Chalkina, how fortunate we are to live a life and to raise our children, you know, with a Torah education. The more we reach out to people just in our daily business, doesn't just have to be a Shabbos meal. Bezus Hashem, slowly but surely, we could reach more and more Jews. And we did our part in that vision of slowly bringing back everyone to Torah and Hashem. Thank you very much for listening. Have a wonderful week.